Today we are celebrating Trinity Sunday and this great mystery of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is something that's difficult for us to understand. In fact, we heard in our gospel passage about some confusion, some doubt that the apostles had when Jesus spoke to them. It reminded me of a time of a story I had heard from a priest. He said that there was a man who came to him who just couldn't understand the whole concept of the Trinity. How can there be just one God when there's three persons? He struggled to understand it, and the priest tried to describe it to him, tried to explain it to him, but the man was still struggling. So the priest advised him to ponder it, to reflect upon it, to meditate upon this mystery in prayer. The man wasn't entirely satisfied, but he took the priest's advice and then sat down. During Mass, as the priest was celebrating, the light from the ceiling, from the lamps in the ceiling, was reflecting off of those sacred vessels he was using during the celebration of the Mass. And that reflection created two spots of light on the left and right of the cross. And when the man looked up and he saw those things, suddenly it hit him that it made sense. One God, three persons. And he was filled with joy. And he understood well enough and accepted this teaching. It was because he was well disposed. It was because he was seeking the answer. It was because he was trying to accept God's grace that he was able to be granted this insight when he pondered this mystery. In our creed, we say that we believe in one God, but then we mention three persons. First, we talk about the Father, and then we talk about the Son, and then we talk about the Holy Spirit. And after talking about the Trinity, we briefly talk about the Church and other things related to it, such as some of the sacraments. In our gospel passage, we heard Jesus say very clearly, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In which case, Jesus is making it explicit that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Notice he said name. He didn't say names, plural, but name, singular, because there's one God. But then he listed all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God. Not one person, but three persons. The Father is God, but he is not the Son, and he is not the Holy Spirit. The Son is God, but he is not the Father, and he is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, but he is not the Father, and he is not the Son. They are different in their relationship with each other, but otherwise they are identical. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. This can be hard for us to understand and to accept. This can be confusing. But there's no contradiction. God is one in his divinity, in his godliness, in his nature, in his substance. But God is three in as much as he is person. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, persons. Still, it can be hard, it can be challenging to accept this teaching, this insight, this revelation from God. But we should reflect upon it. We should ponder on it. Much as the man I had mentioned at the beginning of the homily. This was very important to God to reveal this to us. He's sharing something very personal about himself. And just how we would listen when a close friend, when a family member wants to share something very personal, very intimate about themselves, so too we should listen when God wants to reveal something very personal, very intimate about himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This community of love. Something worth pondering. Once while I was on retreat, I was pondering upon this great mystery of the Trinity. And I was wondering, how is it that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this undivided Trinity, all work together for the salvation of humanity when it was only Jesus Christ who became man and died on the cross? It would seem that only Jesus did the work of salvation. How then was the Father participating? How then was he a part of this work? I pondered this mystery in front of an image of the Trinity. And in that image, God the Father was holding the cross, and Jesus was on the cross. And in between the face of the Father and of the Son, at about the point of the heart of the Father, was a dove representing the Holy Spirit. And as I was praying before this image, I entered into imaginative prayer. This is something that St. Ignatius promotes a lot, where we use our imagination, we set the stage, and invite God to be a part of the use of the imagination. Invite God to guide the imagination, to give us something new, to reveal to us. And so as I was going through imaginative prayer, that image that I had in front of me was then in my imagination. And in that, there was suddenly motion. God the Father was lowering the cross. He was giving his Son, making an offering of his Son out of love for all of us. God did participate in the work of salvation. It was an act of his will to willingly give up his Son, his beloved Son, his only begotten Son, so that we may be reconciled with him, that we may have the opportunity for heaven. Now, God spoke to me through this image, through this kind of prayer, but what he revealed is nothing new. In fact, we hear this in sacred scripture. In the Gospel of John, John 3:16, we hear God, referring to God the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And so sacred scripture says the same thing. God didn't reveal anything new to me. And we can find similar things written in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which summarizes our faith, that the Trinity is one and that they work together. It's one thing to know this in the head. It's one thing to hear about it in a homily. It's one thing to have that knowledge from reading in Scripture or in the Catechism. It's another to experience it in prayer. It's another thing to have God reveal it to us, to speak to us these truths about himself. Much like the man at the beginning of my homily, God revealed that, gave him that insight, that grace, so that he could accept this teaching. And so, as I pondered this mystery, I gained a greater understanding of this passage. Now, what I had done is nothing all that special. Everyone has the ability, the possibility of doing such things, of taking a teaching of the church, presenting it to God in prayer, and being open and trying to listen for God to reveal to us new insights, new concepts. Allow God to reveal himself to us in ways that perhaps we weren't able to recognize it before. As we grow closer to the Trinity on earth, we prepare ourselves to be with the Trinity forever in heaven. We are strengthened for that ultimate union with God. We might wonder, okay, but does that really affect my daily life? The closer we get to God and the more that we receive his love, the easier it is for us to avoid temptation, the easier it is for us to overcome sin. The closer we are to God in prayer, the more we receive his love, the more that love will overflow from us into all our relationships with everyone else. And so it's not a waste of time for us to ponder these great mysteries of the faith. It is to our great benefit for our journey towards God in heaven and holiness, but also even in our relationships here on earth. The more we have God reside within us and the love of God within us, the easier it is for us to share that love with others. And then our friends and our families benefit from that love flowing through us out to them. So this week, let us take a moment, some point during this week, preferably a moment each day this week, maybe a few minutes, beginning of the day or right before bed, to ponder this great mystery of the Trinity. Maybe review a couple of those paragraphs in the Catechism and present that to God in prayer, asking him to help you to better understand and accept these teachings. Sometimes we can get prideful and think, oh, well, that doesn't make sense to me, so it must not be true. But far better for us to accept what God reveals about himself and then ask him to help us understand. Because when we're open to that, we can receive that grace. we can receive the ability to accept these teachings, recognize their truth, and be filled with joy, like the man I mentioned at the beginning of the homily. So let us ponder the Trinity at least once this week, preferably each day this week. But even now, in this next moment of silence, let's ponder this great mystery of our faith as we prepare to meet Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist.